Good afternoon, HBCU baseball fans. This is Michael Coker with another edition of our podcast series. Our podcast series focuses on our coaches, the HBCU coaches, and the many things that they do for their baseball programs. Considering this is our first for the 2017 season, and we have no person other than University of Arkansas Pine Bluff head coach Carlos James. Carlos James, how are you?
Hey, I'm fine. Thanks for having me on.
Anytime. You and I have had some conversations in the past. A few years ago, you guys knocked off some top-ranked teams, and it sent shockwaves across the nation that it was just not because you knocked them off, it was how you did it and the many teams that you did. But besides that, you were entering into your seventh season at the helm of Golden Lions baseball. You are also a graduate of UAPB. How did you come about being coach?
It was a long journey. It's one of those deals where I started out here as an assistant in the late 90s, early 2000s, and then I went on a so-called journey, through coaching summer league teams, coaching travel ball teams, coaching prospect teams, to scouting, and at the point where I thought that I was going to get a scouting job, I ended up taking a job at Arkansas Monticello for 2.5 years, and then when the opportunity arose for me to come back home and coach at the school that I graduated from, that's hard to turn down, and then Pine Bluff being a baseball town, it enabled me to be able to come back and kind of give back to my town. So, that was the basis of it, and I'm a firm believer in God, so, I believe he has me here for a reason, and being a town like ours that's not heavily populated, to be a hometown guy, I'm able to pull some resources in from around the town to help us get the program going.
Well, it's good because you've turned I'm just going to say it like it is. You turned a struggling program around. And every year, you're sitting at the top of the conference. The last 3 years, correct me if I'm wrong, you have won the Western Division of the SWAC. How do you see that this year?
Pretty much, hopefully, the same. And it's not, most people may say, I'm arrogant or cocky or anything like that, but I just come from a place to where if you work hard and if you set a standard, there are certain expectations that you have. And right now, here at UAPB, that's an expectation. To come out and one, play well in a non-conference, but as well, win our division, and then hopefully this year get into that SWAC tournament and bring home a championship for the first time in our history. So, for us, it's an expectation, we relish the challenge and look forward to it.
Well, I'm a stats guy. I really look at stats. I look hard at them, and I'm really known as a fact checker. I check things out. You got a bunch of unknown players, but they're good. Right. I'm sorry. Let me correct that. Unknown pitchers, but they're real good. Right. Where are you finding these top talents?
Like I tell everybody every time they laugh, we're really limited resource school. I mean, we only got 4.9 scholarships. So, God is the main thing that helps us get the guys that we get, because the type of talent that, like you alluded to at first, that we bring in, it ain't nothing but, having faith in God bringing you some kids that's got some tools that, over the years, the things that I've learned and my staff have learned, we're able to develop some guys. We have a throwing program, we have a weight program, we have a summer program for our kids to make sure that when they do come in, they do have some tools, granted, but we try to develop those tools the best we can and teach those kids how to pitch at this level. And as far as the actual recruiting landscape, you know, baseball is one of those fraternities. You know, if you played the game before, you have a lot of guys that you know that either coaching around the country or scouting or have played that live in certain areas that kids are at, and that's how you start your connections and getting your kids, you know, to your school.
Well, with that being said, Coach, what I've noticed is the kids that are coming there, they're leaving. Some of them get drafted, but they're finishing right. School. They're getting what their intent is when they come there. What is it you're doing?
Well, it starts with me, and I mean that in a sense of from the hardships that I had coming up through college and being a young knucklehead. You know, I thought that baseball was the be-all, end-all, but I figured out pretty quick. I had some rough times. I had some academic ineligibility when I was at Arkansas. I put all my eggs in one basket trying to make it pro, and it took me, you know, 5 or 10 years to get back straight and get on track and finally go back to school, finish a degree at UAPB. So, you know, with that life experience, I vowed to make sure that I teach the kids that I'm in charge over not to, you know, be that way, you know, and it's up to us. You know, I always say that our kids are what we allow them to be, you know, and I choose to have mine, let mine focus on academics being number one, and then baseball is a vehicle to that, you know. So, like I was telling a kid yesterday that's going to sit this year because of academics, all the guys that we've had that have gotten drafted has graduated as well, you know, and I think that's a big feather in your cap when you can walk away with that degree, and I just hold that in such high regard, you know, to have that degree, and especially nowadays, it's so hard to rebound, you know, when you and I probably, I don't know what your age is, and you and I were in school, we didn't have all this technology, so we messed up, we could bounce back. Nowadays, the world moving so fast, our kids don't really get second chances, so I really, you know, I've went as far as suspend them, or I make them sit a year till they get those academics right, and I've even sent guys home for not taking care of their academics.
Well, that's called tough love, because you can't. There's a couple HBCU coaches I've talked to, and they say the same thing. They say you cannot be nice to these kids. You have to put your foot down and tell them like it is.
Yeah, you do. You do. And you owe that to them. And you know, a lot of them don't get it right then because I didn't. But I think as coaches and administrators, we owe them the truth. You know, and sometimes that truth is harsh. But at the end of the day, they may not like it, but years from now, I've even had some of the ones that I've gotten rid of, they'll come back and they'll thank me, you know, for some things. So, you know, you have to, you know, pray and be led by God, but then you got to stick to your guns, you know, and I think that helps the overall program as well, getting structure.
That's true, but I want to go back to something. You touched on something a few minutes ago. You said about, you know, it took you time to get things straight, but you had multiple drafts. You were drafted by the same team 3 different times.
Correct.
How did that come about? Now, I asked that question because that's something that doesn't happen in the Major League Baseball draft. If you get drafted and you decide not to take it because you have a couple other chances. But how highly is it likely that the same team will draft you not twice but 3 times?
not hardly, you know. But you know, at the time, you know, when you're young and you're not very smart and you're thinking in terms of financial reward, you know, you tend to be a little bit big-headed and go, well, I'm worth more than what they're trying to give me. I can just go back to school. You know, and those were the things that I did and didn't understand that, you know, God was giving me an opportunity, you know, at the time, and I didn't take it. And then as far as, you know, getting drafted by the same team on three different occasions, you know, back when I was being drafted, you know, when you got drafted, the team carried your rights from one draft to the next, which, you know, they're not able to do that this year. So, you know, a lot of those times I think, you know, what happened was, you know, when you get turned in late, nobody knows had you signed or not. And, you know, then the team that wanted to sign you or had your right, they just pick you up again, you know. So I was fortunate to get picked up by, at the time, the A's were the, you know, the kind of the Yankees at that time. They was the cream of the crop, you know, during the early 90s. So I was fortunate, and I wish that I would have took that opportunity. But in hindsight, it has really made me mature, you know, the role that I did take, and enables me to do the job that I'm doing now here at UAPB.
Well, you're doing one heck of a job, I can tell you that much. Another thing is your strength of schedule is you guys, like I alluded to it earlier, that you take on top ranked teams, but how do you prepare your team from, let's say you're playing one game and then you know that you got a nationally ranked team a few days later in your next scheduled game? How do you prepare your team for that?
You actually, you know, it's an ongoing everyday thing. You know, I start preparing those kids from the day I start recruiting them, you know, to be able to, you know, no matter who we're playing, where we're playing, you know, no matter the weather, what have you, you know, you have there's a certain process to it. You know, I'm a big Nick Saban fan. I believe in, you know, like what Belichick does, you know, the process is doing things right, no matter what the opponent is. It's just about you taking each pitch, and each pitch has a history of its own, and you concentrate on being your best at that time. So what we do, we start that out even in the recruiting phase, you know, and we only take certain guys that answer certain questions, you know, about themselves. I don't want to get in that because it's a podcast, it'd be too long, but after that, when we get them in, everything that we do is based on being the best you can at that particular time. You know, we don't worry about what happened before and what happened after, which afterwards. We just try to stay in the present. And it has helped us, you know, over the years to be able to, okay, we may play a conference game this week and then turn around like last year, I mean, year before last, and you had number 7, Mississippi State, on the road. And we can go in there and focus and win, you know, because what we do is we don't play the name across the shirt. We just play the game. We play against the baseball. So we don't really worry about who's on the other side, who's in the dugout, what's across their chest. Did they play on television last year? We really don't care. So that's the way we go about doing it, and it has worked well for us.
How does that help you win the SWAC?
It gave us a mental edge, a toughness that allows us to just focus on that particular game and not get caught up in who beating who at the, you know, just say if Southern playing Texas Southern, we don't get caught up in them beating each other or who, you know, somebody having to help us. We just concentrate on the game that we have at hand, and it has done well for us. You know, now we just got to take that next step and getting into the tournament and carrying that same type of mentality through, you know, a 4-game span in the tournament. So we're looking forward to keep making strides, though.
Now, this is going to get real interesting with you, Coach. Who do you see as your nemesis in the SWAC? Who is it that you would love to knock off on a daily basis?
Texas Southern, no doubt. Without a doubt. Texas Southern is it. And I think it's more of a reverence or respect for what Coach Robinson has done. I think we're similar in styles. I think that's why even though we could talk to each other, we have a healthy respect for each other. But when we play each other, we'll scrap at each other. We'll bark at each other, you know. And I think it just comes from a respect. So if I had to play and beat anybody every day, it would be them, and I'm probably sure he would say the same thing. So, you know, it's good to have rivalries, but at the end of the day, most of those rivalries come from respect.
Would you prefer to beat them in the conference championship or regular season?
Every day. Both.
Well, to start winding down a bit, Coach, you play at a nice facility. That is a nice place. How did that come about, considering it has the, it carries the name of a former major league great, Torrey Hunter? How did that come about?
Well, the story has it, you know, I really wasn't involved in it, contrary to popular belief. You know, a lot of people think that since we were really good friends that I was totally involved in the him building that place and all that, but I really wasn't. From what I knew, is actually is a jeweler here in town by the name of Bill Jones. His brother-in-law, I think it's his brother-in-law, was a coach at one time here at UAPB before I got here. And those two guys had the vision of building a baseball facility on campus at UAPB. I think the guy's name was Mike Wilson. Actually, he was the pitching coach here at Pine Bluff. So Bill and Mike, you know, came up with the idea, and then somehow they got Torrey involved, because Torrey always, you know, does things around here in town, and that's how that whole, you know, building that stadium came about. When I got here, it was already built, you know, and fortunately, I was, you know, able to be one of the first one, you know, the first coach to play in it, and we just kind of, you know, we have to keep it up ourselves, but that's how it originated. Those guys got together, they had a vision, and hey, they built it, and I think it's a great place, and we got a few other things that's planned. We're supposed to build a press box with locker rooms and offices and stuff like that in there, you know, this year sometime, so that's the reason for it. If you look at our schedule, we're on the road a lot, so they're supposed to break ground here soon on that, and the place is going to continue to get a lot better.
Well, Coach, I've noticed something about you, and I follow you quite a bit on Twitter. I hate to bring up social media, but I can't figure it out in the world. You say quite a bit, and it's all positive. I say to myself, he's going to gas himself out. That's like, he's always coming up with something good to say, something positive. And I'm like, and I shouldn't do that, but I look, sometimes I says, he's going to gas out. And you keep bringing more positive, more positive, more positive. Where are you getting this stuff from?
Well, you know, you try to make sure that, you know, the old adage say you got to surround yourself around people that are likewise or like-minded. Everybody that's in my little small circle, and you know how it goes, the more you get involved at a higher level and you keep moving up, your circle has to get smaller. So I would attribute it to the people that I have around me. They're very positive people. Not saying that we don't have our bad days, but I can tell you now, with everything that's been happening throughout my life, I have more good days than bad days, or I recognize that even my bad days are good days, you know, and I try, being the leader of a program and a figurehead at a university, you have to put out good, because you get back, I think, you get back what you put out. So I try to make sure, no matter what, that I'm always putting out something positive. I'm always trying to be a role model as best as possible to my kids. And, you know, and I try to let them know, you know, no matter how you feel, if you're a leader, you have a responsibility, you know, and you got to perform. You know, and they kind of throw that back at me, and we laugh about it, because they go, well, I have a good day, and coach told me so. You know, get your feelings. You got to perform, you know, and so they like that. And that's what I try to do when I put stuff out there, just to let them know, you know, just keep going. You know, it's going to be all right. There's better days ahead. So that's where that comes from.
Well, Coach, you're a positive person. Black College Nines really appreciate the time you spent with us. What I really respect in you is the fact that when you came to UAPB, they were a struggling program. Now you've turned them to a legit conference contender. Coach,
thank you.
God bless you and God keep you. And I will be looking forward to the 2017 season. I'm going to be checking back up on you.
Okay, yeah, hopefully, you know, we can climb that pole of yours, because, you know, I wouldn't like nothing better than to be number one. So I hope we do be talking here soon.
Hope so, too. God bless you and God keep you.
You, too.